We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
My parents' affection was a paradox. On one hand, they were the most loving guardians one could ask for growing up. I have no shortage of great stories with them. Outings to museums that stimulated my interests growing up. Amazing family vacations that brought me closer to the far ends of my family tree. They provided me with consoles and games when they could afford to do so. However, once I became an adult, this all changed. I was on my way to college, delving into my path of choosing for my future, and they wanted to give me space to grow. It's true, I was a bit coddled growing up, so I respected their decision to let me leave the nest. They did this by doing what they talked about for as long as I could remember. They moved to the sticks in a lovely looking rural cabin. It was perfect for them. They had space to grow whatever they wanted in the open fields, they had enough bedrooms for visits, they even had a small pool to use if they could get someone out there to maintain it. The price they got it for was a steal, which helped them achieve their goal much earlier in life than they planned. However, once they finally moved, this is where we got distant. Though they'd answer calls readily, they always shot down my advances to come over. I'd occasionally offer them to come see me, in case they were self-conscious about something in the cabin, but they were quick to shut that down too. I figured this was all part of their lesson to teach me my individualism, but the first big red flag that burned me was that they didn't come to my graduation. After that, this cycle just ran over and over. Something would happen, I'd ask them to come see me, or I'd ask to see them, and they'd say no. I met a girl, they couldn't make it to dinner. I was thinking of proposing, it was bad timing to come down. I wanted my parents to walk me down the aisle. Sadly, the trip wasn't possible. I tried my hardest to work around whatever excuse they gave, but eventually, I figured that it was never going to happen, and I stopped trying. My only relationship to them was through the fleeting phone calls we'd have. Eventually, that came to an end too, when I was informed that they both sadly passed away. Apparently, they both had an accident outside. A gruesome find. The cause was pinned to a storm that happened not long prior. They'd been outside trying to fix something when debris rained on them. To say I was heartbroken was an understatement. Though they were constantly resilient to any plans of meeting, I always held a spark of hope that I'd at least see them again one day. To have that stripped away from me was a blow that I can never fully convey. A funeral was held, and there was no disputes when everything was left to me. From then on, I just drifted through life on autopilot. I knew I had to clear out the cabin and arrange what to do with it. However, the thought of going there without their permission was a mental block I couldn't overcome. But the emotional strain everything had on me was too much. I was told by many people, my wife included, that I needed closure. I needed to confront the cabin. The drive there was long. It was their dream to live away from the bustle of life, and they accomplished that tenfold. Just as I thought I'd hit a rural road that seemed to be far removed from civilization, I'd hit an even more dirtier, more rural path. This cycle continued until I was thoroughly impressed Google Maps even had a catalogue of the roads I was on. After many twists and turns, which would set even the most seasoned of adventurers dizzy, I hit the final stretch that led to the cabin. I found myself wondering if this was the reason why they never let me come over. Because for anyone weak-willed, there were many ways one could get lost indefinitely with no chance of rescue. I finally saw what I perceived as the demon which held my parents hostage. The cozy cabin that looked picturesque among the bustling tree line of beautiful greenery. Around the back and sides were many rows of crops, all of which were long since dead and weeded over, but looked like they could maintain both of them indefinitely. This made me wonder if they ever left the area. I saw the thick wooden door, much more reinforced than you'd see, blocking my way to confront my demons. Understandable when you think how far removed this place was from any help nearby. I made my way inside to start the task of loading up their belongings and unloading my built-up traumas. My heart broke when I saw how nice everything looked. The decorations were inviting. The furniture was set up to accommodate many guests. They even had a large kitchen set up that could have accommodated many family gatherings. They had many pictures hanging that laid a timeline of what they valued, most of which were pictures of me, laid around the house, that all had probably stopped past the age I last saw them. It was a time capsule of when they knew me, and it was what they seemed to hold dearest. This broke my heart even more, yet confused me at the same time. Everything was too much for me in that moment. Too many thoughts were swirling in my head, and I knew I had to lay down. I simply settled down on the couch, not wanting to disturb their bed, and rested. I was soothed to sleep by the rustling of trees outside, the winds whipping the house, and the scurrying sounds of nature scratching around the house. The day after, I bit the bullet. I started boxing everything I could find. I'd fill a box, carry it outside, and leave it in the back of my van. I never closed any of the doors, since it was near impossible anyone was around to snoop or steal. The process was a mix of emotions. My pace would be on point, but at moments I'd find something of sentimental value and dwell on it for a time. I found old drawings I did as a child, beat up in a drawer near the couch. The condition and markings showed they were pulled out a lot. A few drip marks either indicating rain or tears. My eyes matched when I pondered what this meant. Every time this happened, I'd put it in a box with curious oddities, and I'd carry on. I think this is what people meant when they said I'd find closure here. After finishing a few boxes, the front door all of a sudden slammed shut with a boom. A gust swept through the house, sending a few light objects floating off their resting place. I froze for a moment as I listened for more movement. All I could pick up was dirt crunching outside. After the sound left, I slowly crept to the door. I listened to hear if the wind had picked up and if that was what forced the door shut. But it was a calm day. I creaked the door open, hoping nothing would be out of place. But when I looked at my van, I saw that it too was shut. A large portion of paint scraped away. From the shadows, I could see the dent was huge. I almost went outside, furious, when my eyes caught the front door. On the outside, the wood had been viciously marred. A smooth dent caved in by what must have been an ungodly force. I quickly shut the door and locked it. I racked my brain, trying to figure out what could have done this, but my city life left my ideas a bit lacking. I tried to brush it off, but also knew not to go outside anymore. So I settled in, overwhelmed by the emotions I was processing and stressed from the events unfolding. That night, sleep didn't come easy. I was haunted by strange sounds outside, crunches that I could hear over the natural sounds that soothed in the distance, strange light bangings on the windows and doors, simply testing their integrity. I could see a shape occasionally silhouetted by the moon's light. It didn't stay in one place for long, and as much as I was scared of whatever was outside seeing me, I was equally scared of finding out what it was. I just lay there until my body blinked out from exhaustion. The next day, I was running on fumes. Though I'd slept, it was restless sleep. I slowly crept to the window, bolstered by the lack of movement sounds. Outside, I saw nothing move and took this as my opportunity to get out. I grabbed the keys to my van and slowly crept my way down the path. The van was parked right near the gate of the property, a few dozen feet at most. A walk which didn't bother me when doing my errands, but was an eternity under the tension of the situation. I slipped the key into the lock, one click at a time, and cringed when I clicked the lock open. Opening a car door silently is near impossible, but I did the best I could. Once inside, I closed it and breathed out loudly, confident the car would muffle any sound I made. I put the key in the ignition, turned it, and braced for the roar of life. That sound never came. I tried it a few more times. I didn't know what was wrong, but there was no life in my van. It was a sucker punch, but the feeling got worse when I realized the situation I was in. I was in a van far from the house, and the vehicle was dead. I was stuck in an island of vulnerability. And then, my worst fear came true. Ahead of me, I saw something moving in the tree line. At first, it looked like a tree was slowly falling, tall and thin, standing around the same height as the small trees on the edge of the forest. It leaned and leaned until I confirmed that no tree would ever sway that far. I didn't give it time to move more. In a panic, I ripped the door open and bolted back towards the house. From behind, I could hear it did the same, but faster. The thumps of its steps were unlike anything I'd ever heard from a living being. It was heavy thuds that sounded like they pummeled the ground more than ran. There was no pattern to it. Each step was erratic, and I dared not look back as to why. The only different sound that punctuated this was the crunching of metal and the breaking of glass in the same erratic pattern. Though my distance was much shorter than whatever was chasing me, it was almost at my heel before I managed to swing into the house and lock the door. A final thud crashed into the wood, the reinforced door now making much more sense. After a brief silence, I could hear gentle thuds slowly waddle away as it took its leave. When I felt my heart rate lower to a more human level, I slowly made my way upstairs and looked at the damages I left behind. There was a trail of dents on the ground, following from where I saw the creature all the way towards the door. The van didn't seem to deter its direction at all, as my van had the same markings ran over it. This spoke volumes of its size. I spent my time locking all entrances and barricading the windows with furniture. I tried doing this until I felt safer, but that feeling never came. My sleep that night was haunted by the visage of the creature I encountered. It seems I couldn't even escape it in my dreams. I didn't sleep any more than an hour at a time until morning eventually rolled around. I had a resolve the next day. My adrenaline was in overdrive, and I tasked myself with a survival. At first, I looked around for a weapon. You'd think any royal house would have some kind of firearm, but all that was laying around were overused and flimsy farming tools. My parents had always been pacifists. I still had my phone and took to searching the local news. Maybe something happened while I was away, and there would be instructions on what to do. However, nothing came up. The only other option I had was to call the police. The only stipulation was that I had to choose carefully what I said. After pondering on ideas, I settled on this. I was going to call them and report that someone was attacking me. That way, they'd at least send someone armed. Once they saw my vehicle, they'd take me seriously and I could be escorted away. I hastily made the call, and to my surprise, they took me very seriously and told me that a car would be down to investigate. The wait was excruciating, the remote location working against me. Eventually, my body froze as I listened to the crunch of gravel outside. It was slowly approaching the cabin at a curious speed. However, once closer, I realized its constant ringing meant it was most likely tires. I crept upstairs to peer out the window and observe the car's arrival. There was no urgency in its speed. Either that, or they were being cautious on the beaten path. However, the car slowed dramatically once they rolled next to my van. I feel whatever agency they had doubled once they saw the severity of the situation. The car pulled up in an open part of the drive, and I saw the police officer step outside. He didn't approach the house right away. He stepped over to my van, a curious pull beckoning him over to investigate. I think that decision was his downfall. The thumps resounded rapidly. I thought I could see trees swaying in the distance, but I realized it was just one, rapidly swinging side to side as it pummeled its way forward. The creature was sprinting at an incredible pace and was upon the officer in mere seconds. Before he even had time to react, the creature started pummeling the officer to a pulp. I lost count of the amount of punches it threw in a steep downwards angle, its height causing it to be punching almost vertically. I've watched many professional bouts on the TV, and the punching speed of this thing outmatched the most revered of fighters. The ground got caught up in the beating, with no sense of accuracy over sheer force. It was over almost as fast as it began, and all that remained was a bloody pool on the ground and a pulpy mess wrapped up in a once blue outfit. Before it left, its head turned towards the house, to which I quickly ducked away, hoping I wasn't seen. Silence drowned the air, before slow thuds echoed away. It left once again. It knew it didn't have to work hard to get to me. It knew I was trapped. It was only a matter of time. Survival was hard. I worked on rationing what dried goods remained in the house, but most food had been spoiled, so it wasn't long before I was slowly being starved out. I'd eat what little provisions I set out for the day, and I just watched. Many times I didn't see it, but I always knew it was watching me back. At night, I'd hear it circling the house, never making an attempt to break in, but knowing that its presence alone was enough to keep me trapped. My options were severely limited. Until one night, it sent a message. I spent my nights upstairs, hoping the distance from the entrance would give me a feeling of security. The sounds from outside were only ever on the lower doors and windows, so I felt safer when I barricaded myself in a room at night. That feeling came crashing down with a window when a shape shot through the antiquated pane of the cabin. To say I screamed was an understatement, and panic overtook my actions as I backed away from the shape. With my back against the wall and nowhere to run, I froze. But so did the shape. I realized, when the moon shone in, that it wasn't the creature, but the remains of the officer. Was this a message? Was it a threat that I was next? Did he want me to eat the remains to make this game last longer? Or was it to create an entrance? After nothing else followed through the window, my survival instinct kicked in, and I took to being proactive. I searched the officer for anything of use. It seemed whatever kit he had must have fallen from his belt or were destroyed from the pummeling. All that remained were the contents of his pocket, which was a broken phone and his keys. I was curious. I knew it somehow broke my van, but did it think to break the cop car? Did it think I wouldn't have the stones to try it? On the surface, the answer to the question was no, but desperation made it my last big idea. Otherwise, I'd have to accept a slow and agonizing death at the hands of starvation. Early in the morning, I geared up for my mad dash. This was my Hail Mary. I knew it preferred the tree line in the morning, only ever circling the house at night. I knew I'd have just enough time to get in the car and try the key once before it'd be upon me. I had to get everything right first try. I spotted the car from behind the curtain and psyched myself up for possibly my last moments on Earth. After a few deep breaths, I did it. I yanked the door open, burst out into the small path, sprinted up to the car and jumped inside. I stabbed the keys in and turned it with fervor. It worked. Hope soaked through me as I floored it, almost too quickly, narrowly avoiding many accidents on my way down the beaten path. I saw no signs of the creature. I took this as my one big miracle allotted to me by unknown gods. I never stopped driving. Despite my lack of sleep, adrenaline kept me from pulling over for any reason. I sped past the many landmarks I saw on my way in, hoping it'd be the last time I ever saw them. I kept going until I pulled into my house, left the car on the road, and ran to my room. My wife wasn't in. It seemed she was out at work. I preferred that than to explain why I just sped into town in a stolen police car with keys covered in his dead blood. But the adrenaline was quickly wearing off. An exhaustion I'd never felt before took over, and I collapsed on the bed. Everything would have to wait until I woke. I was quickly woken up with a horrendous sound. I bolted awake despite the lack of sleep and crept up to my window. I took a few seconds to psych myself up and slowly peered down to see what just happened. The police car was moved slightly, twisted from how I'd parked it. It looked like it was hit by a small missile. The trunk was burst, ribbons of metal poking out everywhere. Looking at the angles, whatever happened, it came from inside the trunk, like a bomb went off from inside. And the force of which it departed must have been beyond anything natural. I quickly realized that the creature stalking me may have gotten what it wanted, and it used my desperation to its advantage. Somehow, it must have been trapped inside the rural area of the cabin and needed a way out. It needed someone to take it into the city. I have a feeling my parents somehow knew this, and rather than pass on this nightmare, they isolated themselves indefinitely to keep this from happening. This may have been why my van was sabotaged. My trunk was full. It needed space to hide. The creature is smarter than I possibly imagined. It manipulated me to such a degree, cornering me into desperation so that I did exactly what it wanted. And now it's in the city somewhere, loose to do whatever it's been wanting to do for years, maybe even decades. For me, there's a silver lining though. If this was what caused my parents to stop me from seeing them, in the end, they must have loved me a lot more than I thought.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com